streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Hello and welcome to Larry's Paranormal Hour.
Dun, dun, dun! Hour, more like just about four, a little over 45 minutes.
Piece of crap board.
Yeah.
Just a word of advice out there. When you buy things, make sure it has a brand name. When it has Suey in the title, just you want to avoid it. What's this, a Hawk Suey or something? It's
I have no idea what that is.
All right. Someday we'll get our crap together. Anyway, this is Paranormal Investigator Radio, and I'm Peter.
And I'm Larry.
And I'm Kevin.
Everybody else decided to stay home.
Yes.
That's why we're having problems.
So Larry and Kevin want to mess crap up tonight. I'm just going to sit back and interject when I feel like it. So, gentlemen, the con is yours.
It is. The con is ours. Cut it out. Really? Really? Peter?
Was that too Star Trek-y?
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
It was blatantly saying that you just get beat up all the time.
Okay, we went to finally see Star Wars, and I did
Star Wars,
the newest one. I will say that was the best out of the franchise.
It was
fantastic,
and I'm a huge fan.
I will give them that. I'm still no Star Wars or Star Trek, but
well, nothing can be that boring.
No, so. I know, but I'll give you credit there. It was a good movie.
I used to think like that, and I did get in. And you know, I have to thank J.J. Abrams for getting me into Star Trek, because wasn't until the newer one, call me poser or whatever you want to say, got me into liking the old. I love the old cast. I love the characters. I love how everybody acts towards each other. I love the character development. I love all that. So I am a Star Trek fan now.
So my only problem with Star Wars.
I just don't know why you just can't like both of them.
Star
Wars all the time.
I don't hate on Star Wars.
Yeah.
The only thing is, every time they say "May the Force be with you," I want to almost like burst in the Catholic prayer and say, "And also with you." Lift up your heart. Lift it up to the Force. Give it thanks and praise.
Oh, my ears are burning. So,
hey, I gave you the con.
So, Paranormal Activity. I don't believe in it. What about you, Peter?
I guess.
What have you seen that can make you think paranormal? Like, what turned you into the evil person you are?
Was it the dark side?
So did I seen it or saw it?
What did you tell me? What got you into this?
It was a cold night.
No, serious.
I was going to tell you.
Yeah, but don't start it like that. That's goofy.
I was 7 years old. I was in bed doing sleeping things. When I awoke, no, seriously, when I woke up, there was a pretty much the top torso part of a Revolutionary War soldier walking through my bedroom. And I was 7 years old at the time. And all I could really see was like a part of a green uniform, the white powdery hair, and the meanest, sternest, ass-kicking looking face you could ever. I can close my eyes and still see that. When I think of that face, I can still see that guy. And he just walked through my room.
Really?
That was the first time I had seen it.
It being a revolutionary-style soldier or the dress or whatever he looked like, is that what got you into history as well? Researching why that happened and then getting into history?
No, that was Indiana Jones.
Was it Indiana Jones that got you into history?
That's what got me into archaeology, yeah. Egyptology, all that.
That's
was Indiana
fantastic.
Jones.
That's
yeah,
great. That's, I love that.
Not even kidding. That's
I
what
love
started
knowing
that.
That whole, is awesome, Pete. What about you?
I would have to say that my first paranormal experience is I vaguely remember because I was 4 years old at the time, but it was right around 1991. That was when my grandmother passed away, and she was still alive at the time. She was passing away from heart disease, very, very bad death. I mean, she was just laying in bed for years, just kind of not being able to do anything, and my mom was taking care of her. So I was over at the house a lot, and I remember the day she died, we went to see her, make sure everything was all right, you know. And she was pretty weak at the time, but she was a very strong woman from what I remember, I mean, mentally and physically. And the last time she said goodbye, she actually leaned over the bed to give me a hug and a kiss before I left. So after that, we left the house, you know, we went down to the grocery store, my mom and I, and we're on our way back home, and I vaguely remember it. I have no idea why I said it, but I said, "Mom, Grandma died." And her response was just a regular mom's response. "Yeah, she's dying, but we're going to be okay, you know, we'll get through this," and she just kind of fluffed it off. So we get home, she puts me inside, puts the TV on, and she had to go outside and finish some lawn mowing. So she's outside for about 20 minutes, comes inside, and noticed that there was a message on the answering machine. Listens to it. It was my uncle saying, "You know, call me as soon as possible." So she called him and found out that my grandmother had passed away. And she just said, "You know, for fun, you know, what's going on? You know, what time did this happen?" And he told her the time, and it put it right about the same time that said Grandma died.
Wow. That's nuts. When my grandmother died, me and my brother were there, and she said, "So handsome." And I said, "Thanks, Grandma." And then she, like, motioned me to come in closer, and I went to go give her a kiss, and she said in my ear, she said, "I was talking to your brother, and that's a joke." It was comedian, folks.
Okay.
It was my joke. Oh, come on. That's hilarious. She said, "So handsome." And then she made me come in. She said, "I was talking to your brother." Okay. All right. Then. Never mind. I'll go kill myself, guys.
Oh, I get it now. All right.
Never mind. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Really? Oh. No.
Yeah.
Larry, do you see the box? Do you see the box over there of free chocolate bars that you're supposed to put a buck? I've already eaten 12 of them, so God knows what's going to happen here tonight. Would you like one, by the way? They're pretty good.
More, no, that just made me
those crispy things.
As fun as I thought I was.
Oh, no. I can vouch for Larry's hilariousness. I've seen him on stage. He's made me wet myself a little.
I don't have a set.
From the front, not behind.
I don't have a set thing that happened to me when I was little or like something that like is the only thing that I could remember as far back as I can. Was I got out of bed when I was like 5 years old and I went into the bathroom and I went to go to the bathroom. I'm a little kid, so I sit on the toilet and the shower curtain started like coming out like someone was in the shower and it, like someone was reaching at me. And I remember freaking out and running and screaming in my parents' room. And I think that's the oldest thing that I can remember back to. Like that's...
Wasn't that Poltergeist?
No. Sure.
You know, busting your chops, you just reminded me of one I totally forgot about. I was about 12 years old, 12, 13, and Dad was watching TV, which would have been at the other end of the house in the living room. Mm-hmm. It had to be like midnight, and I went and got him. I'm like, somebody's standing in my closet, which would have been bed, closet, door, outside and whatever, but and then he came back with me, he looked in the closet, and then he stayed there for about an hour and a half talking to me. I'm trying to rationalize this now because I'm replaying it in my mind now because I'd totally forgotten about this one, and now it's like, why did he stand there for an hour and a half talking to me? Did he see something in the closet? And it was one of them, we didn't have, you know, we weren't rich, we couldn't afford doors on our closet, so we just had the curtain.
Yeah,
I have.
And
that
the
now.
Curtains were moving, and I'm wondering if he was actually seeing something now.
Well, wowzers!
I think the first, like, tangible evidence that I've seen was I was around 11 or 12, and I was in my grandparents' house. It's the house that I'm living in now, and my grandfather at the time we had already moved him into a nursing home. So we were getting the house cleaned up. My father was going to rent it out. And a lot of their stuff was still in the house. Well, they had this old clock on the wall that it was a gift from back in the 70s or something. And the clock never worked from when I was 11. It was never plugged in, nothing. So it was my brother and my cousin and I were sitting in the living room and, you know, doing that, you know, cutesy little kid thing about ghosts, you know. if someone's here, give us a sign. And the clock chimed. And this is the clock that hasn't been plugged in since before I was born. And it chimed. So I actually still have the clock. I kept
that. That's pretty cool. And if that's a coincidence, that's a hell of a coincidence.
Yeah.
Too. Give us a sign. The thing hasn't worked in years and bong.
Yep.
What?
Like the kids' toys with batteries that are 12 years old. They randomly go off.
Yeah.
Had that. Not my toys. My toys don't do that.
I remember in my grandmother's house, I used to, and you know, I got thinking about this recently, within the last couple of years. I used to go over to my grandparents' house, and I used to see my aunt Lori, and I used to say there was Aunt Lori that had makeup, and there was Aunt Lori. There were two Aunt Loris. I was little. I was like three or four, but I remember this. I remember seeing a woman in my aunt's bedroom and being like, "Oh, that's Aunt Lori without makeup," and going in the living room, my Aunt Lori's in there. And I'm like, and I didn't think anything of it because I was so little, but I get talking about it with my mom, and she's like, "Yeah, you used to say there was two Aunt Loris," and she just thought I thought it was the same Aunt Lori, one without makeup. But I specifically remember seeing, you know, so what the hell? That's crazy. And I get thinking about it now, and it's kind of creepy.
So say children can see stuff up till about the age of 7, then it shuts off. Well, how the hell do we shut off the adult and go back to being 7?
You know what?
Is there a way of doing that?
Stop paying
taxes.
Yeah, right?
I would love to.
That and the amount of fluoride that they put in the water crystallizes parts of the brain as well. So who's to say those parts of the brain that get crystallized aren't the parts of the brain that we need to, like, work on and expand a little more?
Yeah, but I had well water up until I was about 16, 17 years old.
I don't know. That doesn't take into the fact of the water in schools.
Yeah.
Water in schools as well, you know?
It's in the milk.
The milk, the water. What are we
being fed? That milk they force you.
What are we being fed? What are we being fed to shut off that part of our brain from thinking too much?
Dear God, do you see the stuff that's in the food we eat that we don't even know about?
Don't get me wrong. I love food, and I will keep eating it. Nothing in the world is going to make me a vegan, so that's all there is to it. I don't care if someone's a vegan, but there's no amount of dead pigs in the world that you could show me that's going to make me stop eating bacon.
You know, a lot of what we're talking about here kind of is a segue into what I wanted to talk about tonight was reincarnation. And I know Nicole's not here tonight, but she had shared something on her Facebook page about birthmarks being a mark left over from a previous life of the way somebody had died.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but we can't forget to answer the question we got from our listener as well. So, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Before I forget.
So
we do have a listener. Thank you.
Feel like we're watching Ghostbusters. They get that first call, and we're like, "We got one."
We used to get calls.
Once in a while, someone comes out of the woodwork. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
1-888-429-5471. I think it's been so long. 1-888-5417.
So, if we talk about reincarnation, I mean, could that possibly be part of, you know, why kids kind of forget after time? Is maybe there is like a time period where you still have a memory of their past life and they have that kind of knowledge to know what's going around and see what's still happening around them.
Maybe.
I mean, there's one story that I found. It's a really interesting story. It's actually about Carl Eden. He was a man from the UK. He was born in 1972. 1972, and from a very young age, he was telling his parents about how, you know, I was a German soldier, and I died in a plane crash. And he was 3 or 4 years old when he's telling his parents this. By the time he was 4 years old, he's not only telling these stories, but he's drawing pictures of, you know, planes with swastikas on them, along with the Nazi eagle on them. Within the shields and everything. It was just an amazing story. And he himself actually had a birthmark, and it was on his top upper thigh of his left leg. And he would tell people, well, that's because I lost my leg when the plane crashed. Now, his parents actually looked into it, and there was a plane crash about 3 to 4 miles from where they lived. It was a German bomber plane, and 4 men died, but they only found 3 of the bodies. Hmm. So Carl actually lived up until 94, I believe it was.
How old was he when he died? Oh, I didn't know.
No, I got it right here. Yeah, he was real young when he died. Late 20s, early 30s.
Huh.
And this. But basically, what had happened was
a Nazi soldier. Is that
what you're saying? He kept saying that he was a Nazi soldier.
Okay.
I mean, he even. Was that your stomach, or was that a little girl talking in back?
I ate a lot of fruit today.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
So, basically, here we go. Carl actually passed away in 1995. He's about, geez, what we got here, 30? He's around 30 years old. And when he passed away, he was actually murdered by a coworker who stabbed him 37 times.
Wow.
He hit every vital organ and he died. And that's not the biggest part of the story. The biggest part of the story was, after he was buried, his family said that they really didn't feel comforted that, you know, he was resting, and they didn't feel comfort that he was okay and gone, kind of thing. It was 2 years later, they actually found part of the wreckage of that plane that had crashed back in the 40s. And within it was actually the remains of a body. And the body was missing its left leg.
That is crazy.
So they actually took the body and they did a whole service for the German fighter. And they buried the body. Carl's entire family went to the funeral. And they said it was after that they felt a closure. That was it.
Wow.
So, I mean, Carl isn't the only story with this. I mean, there's plenty of stories out there. There's a boy from Cincinnati, Ohio, who remembered when he was a girl named Pam. She was 30 when she died, and she lived in Chicago. Later on, the boy kept on saying, you know, I died in a fire, and the parents were looking into it. They found a hotel fire from 1993 in which a 30-year-old black woman by the name of Pamela, I believe it was Pamela Robinson, died at the age of 30 during a hotel fire. And it would just, everything would just come together. I mean, there's plenty of stories like this.
I remember back in the mid-90s when you would have on Maury and Oprah, and they would do these episodes of kids, like reincarnation and things like that, and they would have kids on there of pictures of things that they drew these kids being like 4 or 5 years old.
Yep.
And I was an artist. I was this little kid. Remember certain things, and he was drawing. He showed pictures and everything. I mean, that's craziness. I do think there's some credibility in that that we haven't yet discovered scientifically.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one with the Pamela Robinson case, that story, I believe, was told on a TV show called The Ghost Inside My Child.
Really? That's pretty nuts.
So there's plenty of stories out there, and there's I don't know. I find some relevance to it. I mean,
yeah.
How do these kids that are between the ages of 3 and 6 come up with some of this stuff? I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, they could watch documentaries and stuff, but to actually retain information? I mean, Carl Eden told his parents that he's pretty sure that his plane was a German Messerschmitt? I don't even remember it. Which was the old way of saying it was a German-style bomber plane.
Yeah.
So it... I don't know.
That's nuts. That's crazy. I mean, that might very well tie into the whole little kids being able to experience certain forms of paranormal activity up until a certain age, like we were talking about, too. Everything might be tied right together.
Yeah.
Right together. Like, paranormal activity may be... Paranormal activity is paranormal activity, but there are certain categories of this activity as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it may very well be all tied together.
Well, the paranormal is basically just basically saying we're going to group of stuff we don't know about into one thing.
Yeah.
And
we're not going to sit here and say whether we do definitely know what this stuff is, because we don't.
And that's it. There's not really too many, we'll say, scientists out there that want to dedicate their life's work to doing something that's not an exact science. I mean, that's why you got guys like us out there that are out there to volunteer and help people to try and figure it out for them.
Yeah.
Make it seem like that they're not going crazy, that there is something going on.
I do believe in the very near future, with the advancements in science as of recent, we're going to start knowing some certain things that are going to tie into what we consider paranormal activity.
Yeah.
And I do believe that we're going to start seeing some crazy shit. Crazy. We're gonna start. I mean, with the discovery of Einstein's theory of gravity waves, I mean, gravity waves are gonna be a way that we could communicate with different planets, different solar systems, quicker, faster. And this is gonna be nuts. I mean, and who's to say that we won't be able to just communicate with them, but communicate with slips in time and space in the universe, you know, like into black holes that can possibly lead to other galaxies, other universes, so I don't know. But I do believe that we're going to see some crazy things. We ended up getting an email from a listener, and
hopefully you know code.
It's in Peter's phone and it's locked.
Basically, it was David B. from Denver, Colorado.
It was David B., right?
It was David B.
Okay. So David B. from Denver, Colorado wants to know about being touched by a ghost or a spirit or an apparition.
What it feels like.
If it's happened to us, and what it feels like, and wants us to explain. I don't know. I heard that. every bit of it.
Well, and that was with the door closed.
Yeah, right? That had some bass to it too.
Yeah.
So Peter,
I'm embarrassed.
What is the
embarrassed? Embraced.
What is the best experience that you've ever had being touched by, being what you think as being touched by a ghost or a spirit? What's the best thing that's ever happened to you when it comes to actually physically feeling something?
I'm going to put this one, Larry, at the Rutger Mansion.
Really?
We played the audio clip during our presentation. Now, the Rutger Mansion, you have to understand, at one point was a home for very wealthy people in the local area, a banking family. Then around the 1950s, the benefactor of the family, she opened a nursing home, and it stayed in business till the state shut it down around 2000, I think it was. So, like, if you still go in there, the beds are still in there, call buttons, it's just pretty much abandoned how it was. Thing is, when you look in some of them rooms, they had like four or five people in a room for maybe a person and a half. I mean, the hallways were maybe 2 feet wide. You'd think to yourself, how did they get wheelchairs or gurneys or anything down here?
Yeah.
There's no elevator in the building. So if somebody died on the third floor, they physically carry him down. I mean, just a weird place. But we're up on the second floor, that very narrow hallway leading to the bedroom there. It was me, Alex was behind me, and Steve behind him. Something literally went right through, I mean right through me. That was the first time I ever had that feeling, like where my innards got turned into jello, well, like a very quivering, just like...
What about being grabbed? What about being touched? Not something going through you, but being touched.
Oh, you want the touching one?
Yeah.
Knox Mansion.
Where's that?
The one in Gloversville. Were you with us that night?
No, I wasn't. But I knew it was in Gloversville. I'm just saying it for...
Very interesting location. In the downstairs room, they have a fireplace there. It's about 600 years old, 500-600 years old. They brought it over from Italy. So we were doing an event for them, helping them raise money to keep the old girl up in pristine shape.
Yeah.
Had a group of people down there. We were running the spirit box and so on, and nothing was really happening. And, you know, my jocularity, I like, oh, there's the Italian fireplace. And I, like, said the V word in Italian, swear word. I won't say it on the air, but it's the one everybody refers to. It sounds like a Japanese noodle, but it's not actually spelled that way. But as soon as I said that.
I don't know what word you're talking about.
V-A-F-F-A.
That starts with a V?
No, that's what I said. Nobody knows how to spell it. They think it's pronounced like a Japanese noodle. Fungu.
Okay.
That's not really a word. I don't know what fungu is. That's something you buy in a can. Anyway, I said that word. Well, first I said to the crowd, I'm like, what am I thinking of? I'm like, this thing came from Italy. They don't speak English. I'm like, I said it out loud. And as soon as I said it, something grabbed my leg, and you could feel the thumb, like, literally pressing right into my thigh. And I'm like, oh. Like, I just agitated something. But I didn't say anything because we're experienced. The guy that was sitting next to me, like, where Kevin's sitting, he's like, oh, my God, it's, like, ice cold over here. And I'm like, Like, yeah, I think I just agitated whatever sitting
spot
here.
Until I got cold, too, where you were being, where it felt definitely like you were being cold, right?
Yes, that wasn't comfortable.
For me, I would have to say that it would be at the Oriskany Battlefield.
Yes, sir. That's where I've had my favorite. I'll talk about it after, but that's exactly where I had my favorite paranormal experience ever.
That's where we've captured probably the best evidence that from when I had my group, Adirondack Paranormal Society. That's where we had our best photograph taken.
Have you seen the picture?
No. What did you?
Well, you need to see the picture.
We have a photo of a Revolutionary War soldier with cross-sashage and a tricorn hat cradling a rifle as it's breaking apart from being an apparition into the ectoplasm.
That is fantastic.
It is an amazing photo, and we're very fortunate to catch that. The person that actually took the photo wasn't with our group. He had actually won a chance to go on an investigation with us. He was an artist, and he brought his camera with him, and snap the photo.
That's awesome. That is really, really cool.
The touching was, I was actually at the battlefield with a group of probably 10 of us, and we weren't on the side where the monument was. We were on the opposite side of Bloody Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking towards the woods, and, I mean, it's a phenomenal place to be at night.
Yeah, it is.
I do not...
Make sure you get permission, because it is a state park.
It is, make certain you get position. Get in position.
Yeah. There's a funny story with that. That's how I really started a group. Basically, we're heading towards the woods, and I just felt like a hand with all four fingers just run down my arm.
Wow.
Just like the back hand of it. And it was like, okay, what was that? And I turned to see who was trying to get my attention. The closest person was about 25 feet away from me.
That's pretty great.
Other than that, I've been in another situation where I wasn't really comfortable. This is when I was living down in New York City. And somebody had asked me about the paranormal. And do I feel that anybody's following me around or with me? And I said, you know, I feel that my grandparents kind of watch over me whenever I go on these things. And at that point in time, it felt like somebody actually leaned on my shoulder, like they're putting their arm on my shoulder to let me know that they were there.
That's cool. That's really cool.
So those are my two times. The direct skin contact at Risking the Battlefield has got to be the best one, because it was almost like a static charge, but a kind of cool static charge. It's very hard to explain. It's almost like somebody had a piece of metal, like a metal bar, that was in a freezer for a long time, and then they dragged it across your arm when it had a slight charge on it.
Wow. I don't recall ever being touched for sure. You know, there's been times where I've been like, I don't know, maybe. I don't know. But I have been, I was scratched at the Shops at the Finish Line on my ankle. That was really cool. And what you were saying about the Risking the Battlefield, the best things that's ever happened to me at the Risking the Battlefield were, I was over by the gate, the entrance gate.
Yep.
And it was later, and it wasn't the night of the investigation, but I was with my girlfriend at the time, and she was excited about going. I said, well, people usually experience things just hanging out outside the place. So let's go and see if we could hear anything, or you never know. So we're sitting there. We're sitting there for about an hour, just drinking coffee and hanging out and chit-chatting. It was a nice night in the summer. And we said, let's leave. So we end up leaving, and we were like, you know, and I was talking to her. I said, I really wanted you to see something cool. Like, here's something to get you more excited. So we ended up getting more coffee, went back, and we're sitting there. And we weren't there for probably 15 minutes, not even. And we're talking, and we stopped talking. And all of a sudden, now the story about that gate is there's an old Indian chief, a Native American chief, that sits there and guards that battlefield. People have seen him. And we're sitting there, and it wasn't about 10, 15 minutes, and we heard footsteps come up the side of the passenger side of the car, scuffing in the gravel, scuff, scuff, scuff. It was footsteps. It was definitely human footsteps, yep, for sure. So immediately, everything that you think of when something like that happens is within a split second, you immediately think cop,
yep,
cop, or person's coming up, like, who is this? And you look, and no one was there. And that's what got me really wanting to get in there. So then, cut to the actual investigation. I saw a full body apparition standing right next to me. When I turned, he was right in my face, and as quick as I saw him, it was gone. He didn't disappear. He didn't, like, in the mist or anything. It was just, he was there and gone. I heard little girls laughing. Little girls laughing coming from the because we were standing on the side facing Bloody Creek of, yep, the monument, that obelisk there. And coming right from there, we heard little girls laughing, and then we heard singing, and then we ended up hearing a conversation happening in the woods that sounded like it was 3 feet away from us. It sounded like someone asking a question, someone answering the question, and someone reacting to that answer of that question. And it was just three little da-da-da, da-da, da-da-da. And it kept going over and over and over again until we ended up saying, is anybody there? And it stopped, like someone shut off a switch. And it picked up on the opposite side of the field, but it wasn't loud, but you can hear it. And it sounded so far away, but it wasn't echoing, it wasn't loud, so how could, yep, we still hear it? Like, and that kind of stuff messes with me, because if it was that loud and it sounded like it was coming from so far away, why wasn't it loud enough to echo?
Yep.
Why is that something that's messing with my internal, you know, the workings in my brain, making me hear this stuff? Because I wasn't the only one that heard it, but everybody agrees. It didn't sound right. It sounded like it was far away, but it wasn't. Then we got chased out by what sounded like koi dogs, so we left. But yeah, that was pretty great. That was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. And with the scratches at the finish line shops, that just felt like a well. So,
just to set you all up out there, the Oriskany Battlefield took place in August of 1777. It was called the Bloodiest Battle of the American Revolution. Basically, Fort Stanwix was under siege in Rome, so they mobilized the militia. They had a 40-mile march. The attacking army at the fort found out that this militia was on their way, so they hid in the woods about 6 miles away from the fort, and they just ambushed this entire column of militia people.
Yep.
It was pretty brutal. There were two sets of Indians. I mean, there were the Oneida Indians, which were loyal to the American cause, and then there were the Mohawks and the Iroquois that were with parts of the Iroquois that were loyal to the crown, fighting back and forth. And it got to the point where they weren't even firing guns anymore. It was like just an all-out street brawl.
That's...
kill people with branches, trees, whatever. They were able to fall back. Then they started firing again. I mean, it just a slug match for hours. And then a big thunderstorm broke up the entire thing, and that was the battle. So
one of the most forgotten battles as well.
It is. And one of the best stories about that is when they were right before the battle happened, when they were marching, and they were like, we need to stop. We need to drink. We need to. And they were like, no, we've got to keep going. And they were like, listen, you could go. We're going to sit and have a drink. And General Harkimer was like, all right, whatever. And they did. And when they put their heads to that creek to have a drink, the story I heard, that the lady who took care of the place up there, mm-hmm, at the time, her name was Nancy.
Nancy Demetrius.
Yeah. And she, yeah. and she was telling us about it. She said they bent down, took a drink of water, looked up, and it was just eyes of Indians, Native Americans, in that brush right in front of them a couple feet away. And then the tomahawks got flying and the guns got going, and then it just blew up from there.
And if you've ever been to the battlefield, that brush there, that is about 8 foot tall of just this waving grass.
Yep.
And if you can hide in there, no problem.
Yes, yes.
I went with Steve and Alex on the 6th this past year. August 6th is the day of the battle, so that's the memorial. They'd already had the ceremony for the day. And the weird thing, not weird, but like the actual Oneida Indian tribe, to this day, they actually leave food out at the monument for the fallen braves and all that, so they can eat the essence of the food and all that. So that's really a belief.
Yep.
And actually, one of the tribal elders there, they were telling us, like, the spirits are really going to be active tonight. You know, we're like, ooh, good. But we started walking through the battlefield, and I was carrying my camera bag and stuff, the ghost hunting equipment, paranormal equipment. And I started calling out. I'm like, my name's Woodruff. I'm the surgeon from Fort Stanwix. Does anybody need help? Does anybody need water? I'm from Fort Stanwix. Colonel Gansevoort sent us for the wounded. Steve, Alex, and myself, you could actually see things moving in that tree line. Now, like they're describing, yes, it's tall brush, and you figure, well, maybe it's just the brush moving, but you swear that you're seeing black figures moving all throughout, wherever you're going. And the more I kept calling, the weirder the feeling kept getting. I don't know if that's more psychosomatic than paranormal, but it's like you were identifying yourself as a surgeon. If they're wounded, you know, I figured that was the trigger object.
Yep.
We were getting some weird stuff on the Frank's box, spirit box thingy, but nothing definitive.
I did see the black figures when I was there. I actually went with a group another time. I'd been there total probably 5 times.
And this was broad daylight, too, I should say. This was about 4 in the afternoon. But
I went around midnight every time that we went. Basically, I was with the group, and I was walking again towards the brush line, and I was about to pass by somebody in the group, and I was talking to them all, and as I'm looking in the brush line, I could see a black figure just leaning against a tree in the brush line. I mean, it's pitch black out, and I could see a black figure leaning against the tree. And as I passed by one of the people in the group, just within the span of his body as I'm walking by, that figure was gone. You could hear multiple things. I've heard musket fire there, and that's a very distinct sound.
It's a specific sound.
The pop with the fizz.
Yep.
And to hear that at 12:30 in the morning in Oriskany.
The echo. And another thing I heard is the echo of a cannon. Not the cannon going off, but that echo afterwards. Yep. And you're like, that sounds like a cannon echo.
Yep.
It really, and I've heard that. Like twice there, not the boom, but the like that. It's just the echo. Yeah.
Now, I'll share my story about how I got into paranormal, and this is mainly for our listeners that, you know, they don't do what I do. You know, so the first time that I went to the battlefield, I went illegally. We went on the property after dark. I mean, everyone does it, but believe it or not, there are state patrols.
Yeah, there are.
Throughout there all night long.
Being older now, you know better. You know, you know, you don't go into places. But when you're young, you're in the cemeteries, you're in the places you're not supposed to be.
Well,
you're going.
For me, it was the second or third time I had went, and we're down in Blood Creek, we're coming up the hill, and we see this bright light flash through the trees, and we're like, what are we seeing here? So we all get down, we're kind of watching. Next thing we know, there's a state trooper car coming up the road. So we all dive into the brush, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? My truck's parked on the side of the road. He's going to see the truck. So I see the trooper pull up. He turns on the lights behind my truck, gets out of the car, and I'm like, I got to go. There's 5 of us there. I get up and start walking, and they're like, I don't want to get in trouble. So then they finally get up and start walking behind me. I walk up to the trooper and call out to him, you know, excuse me. Scared the ever-loving crap out of him for me to walk out of that darkness from the battlefield. He jumped so high when I did that, but, you know, he pulled us on the side of the road, told us, you know, not really breaking and entering, but you're entering a closed park. Technically, he was citing us for felony trespassing. That's what he was saying. We're trespassing on federal property. What he had actually did was he gave me a ticket because I was the driver, so I got the trespassing ticket. And after he issued me the ticket, I spent another 20 minutes talking to him about how to obtain a permit to go on the property. He gave me all the information I needed to do that, and I actually couldn't make the court date for the ticket, but I sent in a letter because I had classes at the time I was in college, sent in a letter saying that I also talked to this state trooper about obtaining a permit. The paperwork's already been filed for me to obtain a permit to go in there legally. I was actually cleared of all charges. The ticket disappeared. It was actually from that my group actually formed so that I could actually get permits to go into these places mm-hmm. and do the investigation. So I don't advise any of our listeners to go to a place first and then wait for the trooper to come to get the information on how to get a permit. Do the research. Do it. Don't just, you know, tempt fate, because you might not get as lucky as I did to get cleared of those charges. So.
And don't be like those idiots that were in South Carolina last year that were ghost hunting and they were bored and then they started smoking pot and ended up burning down a 170-year-old plantation that was on the historical register. Each of those events, I don't care what you do individually, just don't burn down the historical landmark. That's
You don't go on an investigation messed up, drunk, high, whatever, because who's going to believe your story? Who's going to believe your story?
Yeah, we understand the thrill behind everything, but I mean to mix in alcohol and psychoactive drugs, it just there's no point to it.
So Kevin, if you want to pop around, I'm going to show you this video. This video was given to Dave by someone who works with him, where they keep seeing this black shadow figure moving throughout their house. So they set their iPhone up and recorded for like an hour, and they actually captured it. Now, I know obviously you're listening out there, you can't see it, but these are the sort of things that we get all the time people have us look at. I don't really know.
The thing that interests me is down here. Watch this.
Yeah, there's a piece of white. It's almost like a cup zipper or something. Actually, nope.
What we're watching is a big black shadow move across the screen.
Peter,
it wasn't translucent.
Firefighting and stuff. I mean, look at that and tell me that doesn't look like the reflective stripe at the bottom of a fire coat or something like that.
Once David actually sent, he recorded off his screen. This isn't the original video, so that's what all that extra feedback is. But
I mean, it looks like a triple stripe there. I mean,
I would like to see
along the back.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the original. I'd like to see the original and see if that white is there in the original.
Do you have any information on
the fact that this is blocking the rest? I don't like. There's a part of the video obstructed by something. But you can see through it as it zips by. That's the.
I don't know.
So if you have interesting stuff out there, send it to StaySpooky at whatever the hell Steve and Nicole usually tell you to email that to. It's StaySpooky something.
You can always send it to our Facebook as well.
Or Facebook, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal.
One of the better things to get a hold of us at. Boy, oh boy, what time is it? We got about 5 minutes, guys.
For those that didn't tune in last week, Larry had a hell of a Spirit Box session last week at the our last radio show at the shops at the Finish Line. You want to give them a quick recap of your fruit thingy?
when I do a Spirit Box session, I veer away from asking questions that could come through on a Spirit Box. That would be a number or name. I mean, sometimes I try to stay away from names too, but I try to get responses. And one of my favorite things to do is I say, repeat after me. I'll say fruit, I'll say vegetables, I'll say animals, I'll say things like that. And I said, repeat after me. So I'm going to say different fruit, say apple. And the second I said it, it came through and said, that's an apple. What the hell, first off. And then I got one that came through, sounded like it said my name. And that one sounds like on Poltergeist. That one sounds tinny, and it doesn't sound like it's the radio. It sounds like Larry. It was almost like
a little girl sing-songy.
It sounded like Carolan on The Exorcist when she was talking through that limbo vortex.
Or Poltergeist, not Exorcist.
I'm sorry, on Poltergeist, where they're listening to her through the telephone. Exactly what it sounded like. But that was definitely my name. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, they were very, very interesting recordings. I mean, to hear those firsthand while we're there, it's insane.
And I want to actually say this was the first time I've seen the K2 meter moved. Then the temperature would change, and then you were getting something weird.
And they were all correlating.
It was all
at the same time, and that's fantastic evidence.
Because usually the K2, for the longest time now, the K2 meters really haven't been picking up on stuff.
And that's why we use them. That's why we use them, to get those correlations between temperature, K2, EMF, and activity that we are experiencing. That's perfect. That's perfect.
So speaking of poltergeist, finally, after all these years of hunting, I finally found a small tabletop TV. It's a little like 4-inch, 5-inch black and white. I'm going to start bringing that out now and plugging that in and leaving the screen on, and maybe we can set a video up and record the screen, see if we're getting pictures through the...
Yes, that...
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to lug that 29-inch tube TV with us everywhere we go, but...
I have a little one. That is just... It's got a VHS in it and everything. So...
Well, would that record the static?
Yeah, it would, as a matter of fact.
Because that's old school. That's old school. What was that movie? White Noise?
Which is fun to watch, but kind of...
They ruin it at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, it got kind of campy at the end where you had to bring in the CGI spirits, but...
Yeah, that was...
I don't recommend the second movie either, but...
I still think 13 Ghosts was the scariest of the movies I've seen.
You know, my favorite scary movies that have to do anything to do with ghosts or anything like that is Shining. Shining's up there. Mm-hmm. And Poltergeist. I mean,
Poltergeist messed me up for life. Yeah. That was just...
Carolyn. The paranormal investigating part of Poltergeist is what gets
go
me.
Go to the light, Carolyn.
And then the next one or two was that guy, whatever his name was, Kane. So we got less than a minute here. We don't really have anything coming up other than you guys are working on our first paranormal classes for like the month of March or April or something.
We'll be working on YouTube. We're going to try and get something going with that. We'll keep you updated on what's going on with that.
Eventually we'll get this radio thingy figured out. But for the next show, I want to take you on, because where do you go after reincarnation? Where do any of us go? That's what I think the fascination is.
There was another story with that where a girl talked about going up and seeing God, and then he pushed her back down to come back as another person. So,
all right,
sounds it.
On that note, I'm thankful that you listen to us. I love you all. Be safe. I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Larry O'Grady.
I'm Kevin Jordan.
This was...
Is Paranormal Investigator Radio with RIP and stay spooky, everybody.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.